Okay, ready to dive into another case.
Always.
This one really highlights the power of symbols
Oh, yeah.
and how those symbols can bump right up against the First Amendment,
Definitely.
Spence v. Washington.
Okay.
So imagine
All
you're a college student back in
right.
1970.
Right.
Tensions are high over the Vietnam War,
Yeah.
and you decide, you want to express your discontent
Sure.
by hanging the American flag upside down from your window with a peace symbol taped to it. Seems pretty straightforward, right?
I think so.
Well, not so fast.
Oh.
This simple act
Okay.
landed Harold Spence in legal hot water
Uh-oh.
and ultimately led to a landmark Supreme Court decision
Wow.
that's still shaping how we think about free speech today.
I see. So
Yeah.
what's fascinating about Spence v. Washington is that it really tackles that intersection
Right.
of symbolic speech,
Yeah.
the First Amendment, and the significance of the American flag. It forces us to ask these really tough questions, like
What?
where do we draw the line between protecting a national symbol
Right.
and allowing individuals to express themselves, even if that expression might be controversial or offensive to some?
Right, because you're dealing with a symbol that carries a lot of emotional weight for people.
It does.
So before we get into the legal nitty-gritty,
Sure.
can you give us a little more context?
Yeah.
What was happening in the U.S. at the time
Well,
that might have influenced Spence's actions and the court's decision?
1970 was a
Yeah.
tumultuous year in
Yeah,
America.
for sure.
The Vietnam War was raging, and there were protests
Yeah.
erupting on college campuses across the country. The U.S. had just invaded Cambodia,
Right.
and the Kent State shootings,
Oh, wow.
where National Guard troops fired on student protesters,
Right.
had sent shockwaves through the nation. So there was a palpable sense of unrest and a desire for change among many, especially young people like Spence.
Okay,
Yeah.
so
Yeah.
Spence hangs his flag upside down with the peace symbol,
Right.
clearly intending to make a statement against the war and the political climate.
Yeah.
But then what happens?
Yeah, what happens?
Does he get arrested for like flag desecration or something?
Interestingly, no.
Hmm.
He was actually arrested under a Washington state law
Okay.
that forbade attaching anything to
Yeah.
the American flag.
Wow.
Now, keep in mind,
Okay.
he didn't damage the flag and he wasn't causing any public disturbance. It was purely about how he chose to display the flag.
So he gets arrested simply for his form of expression,
Right.
his symbolic speech.
Exactly.
That seems like a pretty slippery slope, doesn't it? I
Right.
mean, where do you draw the line if the government can dictate
Yeah, where?
how you display your own property?
That's precisely the question that the courts had to grapple with.
Yeah.
The case went through a bit of a legal roller coaster,
Oh, really?
with Spence being convicted in lower courts,
Yeah.
then having his conviction overturned by the Washington Court of Appeals,
Okay.
only to have it reinstated by the Washington Supreme Court.
Up and down.
Yeah, up and down.
A real legal tug of war.
A tug of war.
And finally, it lands at the Supreme Court's doorstep.
Right.
So, what were the core arguments presented before SCOTUS?
Well, Washington State argued they had a compelling interest in protecting the flag's physical integrity, almost like it was a sacred object.
I see.
They also argued that Spence's display was disrespectful
Sure.
and could cause public unrest.
Right.
On the flip side, Spence's lawyers argued that his actions were a form of protected symbolic speech,
Right.
that he had a First Amendment right to express his political views, even if it involved altering the flag, especially since he owned it
Right.
and wasn't causing any actual harm.
Okay, that's where it gets really juicy.
It does.
Because now we're talking about the heart of the First Amendment
Exactly.
and how far it
Yeah,
extends.
how far?
So how did the Supreme Court ultimately rule?
Right.
Did they side with the state's need to protect their flag?
Wow.
Or did they uphold Spence's right to free expression?
In a 7-2 decision,
Okay.
the Supreme Court sided with Spence,
Wow.
finding that the Washington state law, as applied to his case,
Yeah.
was unconstitutional.
Okay.
They didn't throw out the law entirely,
Right.
but they said that in this specific context,
Yeah.
Spence's actions were protected under the First Amendment.
So a win for free speech.
Yes.
But with some caveats, it sounds like.
Right.
What was the court's reasoning behind their decision? What
Oh,
factors did they consider?
they emphasized a few key points.
Okay.
First, Spence owned the flag,
Right.
and his alteration was temporary.
Okay.
That removable tape he used
Yeah.
was a big deal. Second, they recognized that his message was clearly political,
mm-hmm.
directly tied to the events of the time.
Right.
It wasn't like he was just vandalizing the flag for no reason.
Yeah, yeah.
They were saying that context matters a lot
right.
in these cases.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
His intent seems pretty clear, right?
It does.
He wasn't trying to destroy the flag.
Right.
Or disrespect it in a general sense.
No.
He was using it as a platform.
Exactly.
To express a specific viewpoint.
Yes.
But how do you measure intent?
That's a good question.
Especially when it comes to something as symbolic as the flag.
Well, the court tackled that issue head on.
Okay.
They created what's now known as the Spence test.
Okay.
A two-prong test to determine if something qualifies as protected expressive conduct.
Mm-hmm.
It's used to figure out if someone's actions are actually communicating a message.
Right.
Or just random behavior.
I see, I see. Okay, I'm curious. Break right. down this Spence test for us.
Okay.
How does it work?
The first prong of the test asks,
okay,
did the person intend to send a specific message through their actions?
Hmm.
It goes beyond just doing something.
Right.
The courts want to know what you were thinking,
mm-hmm.
what your purpose was.
I see.
The second prong asks,
okay,
was it likely that others would understand the message?
Okay.
It has to be something that resonates with the audience,
mm-hmm.
not just some obscure personal gesture.
So both the intent of the speaker
right.
and the likelihood of the audience understanding the message
yes.
are essential for something to be considered protected symbolic speech under this test.
Exactly.
Okay.
And in Spence's case,
yeah.
the court said he passed both prongs with flying colors.
Wow.
They acknowledged his clear anti-war message
uh-huh.
and pointed out that using the flag symbolically, like
right.
flying it upside down or at half mast,
mm-hmm.
has a long history.
That's true.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Actions like that have always been a way to communicate distress or protest.
You're right.
Yeah.
There's a whole language of symbolism associated with the flag.
There is.
So the court recognized that Spence was tapping into that existing language.
Exactly.
To express his political dissent.
Right.
But what about the arguments in favor of protecting the flag?
Sure.
I mean, even if Spence's intent was clear,
mm-hmm.
surely some people were offended by his actions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The state of Washington made a strong argument about the need to protect the flag's physical integrity
right.
and its symbolic value.
Mm-hmm.
They claimed they needed to prevent actions that might cause public unrest
yeah.
or disrespect the flag.
Excellent.
However,
yeah.
the court wasn't entirely swayed by those arguments.
Okay.
They pointed out that Spence's removable tape
right.
didn't actually damage the flag
right.
and that the potential for offense doesn't automatically justify restricting free speech.
That's a really important distinction.
It is.
Just because something is offensive
right.
doesn't mean it should be illegal. Freedom of speech often protects unpopular or controversial opinions.
It does.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You can't please everyone.
Right.
And robust debate sometimes requires dealing with uncomfortable
sure.
or even offensive viewpoints.
That's true.
But this wasn't a unanimous decision, right?
It wasn't, no.
Were there any dissenting opinions?
Yes. Two justices,
okay.
Chief Justice Berger and Justice Rehnquist,
okay.
dissented from the majority opinion.
Right.
They had some pretty strong objections to the ruling. Chief Justice Berger believed that states should have more leeway in deciding how to protect the flag.
Mm.
He saw it as a policy issue,
yep.
not a constitutional one.
I see.
Arguing that the Supreme Court shouldn't be dictating to states how they can regulate something as symbolically important as the flag.
So it was a states' rights versus individual rights kind of argument.
Exactly.
Okay.
He felt that the state of Washington had a legitimate interest in preserving the flag's symbolic value and preventing actions that could be perceived as disrespectful.
Yeah. Even if those actions didn't cause any physical harm.
And what about Justice Rehnquist? What was his take on the case?
Justice Rehnquist went even further.
Oh, really?
He argued that the flag's unity as a symbol matters regardless of the message being conveyed.
Mm-hmm.
He felt that allowing individuals to alter the flag for their own purposes, even in protest,
yeah.
diminishes its power as a symbol of national unity.
So he was basically saying that the flag represents something bigger than any individual's right to free speech.
That was his central argument.
Okay.
He believed that some spaces and symbols are so important to national unity
mm-hmm.
that they need to be protected from individual expression, even if that expression is otherwise protected.
Interesting.
He drew a comparison to restricting billboards in public parks.
Oh.
The idea is that certain symbols and spaces hold a special place in society.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't allow them to become platforms for individual expression,
even if that expression is protected.
That's a really interesting point.
It raises the question of where we draw the line between individual rights and the need to protect shared values and symbols.
Right.
It sounds like a tough balancing act.
It is a tough balancing act.
But in Spence's case, the majority of the court decided that the government can't limit flag use just to enforce unity.
Right.
Especially when the context is clearly political expression.
Yes. The majority felt that context was crucial in this case.
Yeah.
They acknowledged the importance of the flag as a national symbol.
Uh-huh.
But they also recognized that suppressing dissent in the name of unity could be dangerous.
Right.
They emphasized that Spence's actions were a form of political protest.
Sure.
Not an attempt to desecrate or disrespect the flag.
So what's the lasting legacy of Spence v. Washington? How has it influenced later cases and our understanding of free speech?
Spence has had a significant impact on First Amendment law. Hmm. The Spence test, which we discussed earlier,
right,
has become a key tool for courts to analyze expressive conduct cases.
Okay.
Not just those involving the flag. It's been applied to all sorts of protests,
yeah,
from wearing armbands with political slogans,
right,
to displaying controversial messages on license plates.
Wow.
It's become a cornerstone of how we interpret the boundaries of symbolic speech.
So the court really broadened the scope of what can be considered protected expression with this case.
They did.
And you mentioned that Spence set the stage for later flag burning cases.
Right.
Are there any specific examples that come to mind?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Spence v. Washington laid the groundwork for the landmark case Texas v. Johnson, which dealt directly with the act of flag burning.
Right.
The Supreme Court, relying heavily on the principles established in Spence,
yeah,
ultimately ruled that flag burning as a form of political protest is protected speech under the First Amendment.
Wow. That's a pretty powerful statement about the breadth of the First Amendment's protection.
It is.
It seems like Spence v. Washington, even though it didn't involve flag burning directly,
right,
really opened the door to that debate.
It certainly did. Spence established a framework for analyzing expressive conduct cases that extended far beyond the specific facts of that case.
Yeah.
It forced us to confront the complexities of symbolic speech.
For sure.
And the delicate balance between protecting national symbols and upholding individual rights.
This deep dive has been fascinating.
Yes.
It really makes you think about the power of symbols.
It does.
The boundaries of free speech.
Yeah.
And how the courts try to navigate these complex issues.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any final thoughts for our listeners as they ponder the implications of Spence v. Washington?
Keep in mind that the legacy of Spence is still being debated and interpreted today.
That's true.
It reminds us that the First Amendment is a living document.
Yeah.
Constantly evolving as we grapple with new challenges to free expression in a changing world.
Right.
The next time you see a protest or encounter a form of expression you find offensive, consider the principles we've discussed today.
Okay.
Think about the intent behind the message.
Yeah.
The context in which it's being conveyed.
And the delicate balance between protecting individual rights and preserving societal values.
Excellent points to consider.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Spence v. Washington.
My pleasure.
We'll be back next time with another exploration of a landmark legal case that continues to shape our understanding of the law and its impact on our lives.